You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Irirangi Pō, Radio Bosom.
The Wire.
Last week, Donald Trump announced his nominee for the US Supreme Court. His name is Brett Kavanaugh, and his appointment could have the potential to change US law and politics for a generation. But who is Brett Kavanaugh, and why is his appointment so significant? Well, I spoke with US politics lecturer from the University of Auckland, Maria Amudian. Trump has nominated Brett Kavanaugh to fill the vacant spot on the US Supreme Court. So tell us about what is unfolding here.
Yeah, so first of all, a few things about the Supreme Court. You know, the justices have always been part of a partisan coalition. Often the people that get nominated for the Supreme Court are people who've been active in their parties. So they've always been partisan. It's just that American politics has become more and more polarized and more extreme, particularly on the conservative side of the spectrum. What happened over the last couple of decades is that there have been the development of some organizations like the Federalist Society, which is a kind of ultra-conservative group that seeks to shape the judiciary in its own ideological form. And so they put a lot of pressure onto presidents to nominate candidates that they have vetted themselves. Historically, the American Bar Association did recommendations to the president, but that has been sort of pushed aside, particularly for conservative presidents. So Kavanaugh has been vetted by the organization, by the Federalist Society, so that would think that he would align with their thinking and will carry forward those very conservative ideas into the decision making.
So what does this mean both legally and politically moving forward?
Well, you know, legal and political are really intertwined. Law is not distinct from politics. Law is created by politics, and then law is enforced in some ways by politics too. Judges are not, they're not ideologically free. And political scientists have calculated this, and they can show you exactly how that goes. What it means for the future of the United States in terms of big decisions, civil rights decisions will be determined less for the individual rights. The rights that would include racial equality issues, that's going to include human rights issues, that's going to include women's rights to abortion, that will probably resonate into you know, freedom to marry who you want if you're not heterosexual. And all of these things will, over the course of time, be affected. Will they be completely changed overnight? No, because there are some things that guide justices and keep them from overturning things immediately. One of those is this thing called stare decisis, which means that the historic precedent is supposed to have some weight. And they don't just like to overturn things. The other thing that happens is that justices sometimes change after they get appointed. We've seen historically some of them that were appointed by conservatives end up becoming more liberal. And, you know, that doesn't always happen. So there are a lot of unknowns going on, but we do expect to see some of the individual rights getting turned back and corporations being strengthened with this particular Supreme Court.
Do you think it's time to perhaps now reconsider the position and role of the Supreme Court in American society?
I do, but I'm pretty alone in that. I have for a long time said that you know, nine people deciding the fate of 350 million people on these decisions that resonate throughout society is, you know, it's questionable about whether that makes really logical sense anymore. Ultimately, often these things come down to one person making a decision about what the law means. Yeah, I think it's time to change things a little. It doesn't mean that we should throw out the Supreme Court. I don't think that. I just think that it just needs to be rethought. Maybe there should be some different types of limitations placed.
How much influence has Donald Trump had on this whole thing?
A lot. So he's been the one that ostensibly got Justice Kennedy to step down. And there's some speculation about how he did that. Allegedly, he promised to allow the legacy to be maintained. Now, some of that legacy won't be maintained, I don't think, because he was often a sort of progressive-ish vote on abortion and gay rights in particular. But we don't expect those to stay the same. We expect them to be slowly whittled away.
So is this a case of democracy under threat?
Well, that's an argument that America, the United States of America, is, you know, fully democratic. It's not. First of all, you know, it is a republic. It's a representative democracy. But there are a lot of problems in it already. There are problems in the party system. There's a problem in the nomination system. There's a problem in the money in the system. The justices were supposed to be there to safeguard the rights of individuals in the case where the majority becomes tyrannical.
Now, just one final question. Over the weekend, we saw these massive demonstrations in the United Kingdom against Donald Trump, like we haven't really seen before against a visiting foreign leader in years. As an American, what do you make of this, watching that unfold?
I'm a Kiwi now.
An American, a Kiwi-American.
Look, you know, I think a lot of us don't feel like Donald Trump is a good representation of the United States at all. And I think you see the United States citizens also protesting in the streets. You saw that with, you know, the women's movement. You saw it with the March for Science. And so I think that this is absolutely global, and people should stand up for things that they believe in. They should stand up for the values that they feel like are under attack: decency, compassion. Then those are things that Donald Trump has railed against. So I feel like that's what we have to do if, in fact, we have to tolerate a person like this and let him know that this is not a value that we support.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.